Gracious God, thank you that all we ever have to be is who you made us to be. We get so caught up in trying to be something else or be like someone else, and all we have to be is who you made us to be. May the words of my mouth and the meditation of all of our hearts be acceptable and pleasing to you, O Lord. In Jesus' name, amen. So this is the first Sunday of Lent 2020, and I thought, well, we'll do a little bit of Lent 101. Some of you might be very familiar with Lent. Some of you might have played along with Lent and said, oh, I know what we're doing, and I'm supposed to fast or something. And some of you have no idea why we walk around with ashes on our heads. But the funniest thing is Lent is not for belly buttons. It's, I know we have it. We catch it in our belly buttons, but it's not just for belly buttons. It's also not about giving up chocolate or taking up exercise or giving up sugar and all those different things. There's a little more to it than that. Some treat it like a second chance at a New Year's resolution because they've already blown the ones that they said, I'm going to quit eating sugar all of 2020, and then Valentine's Day came, and they started shoving chocolate in their mouth. So they're going, okay, I blew it, I'm going to try this again, Lent's here. But really what it is in the Christian tradition is that it's a season of the Christian year, a season in the liturgical calendar that Christians focus on simple living. They focus on self-examination, prayer, repentance, and fasting, all to become closer to God. We human are, we're wanderers, and we tend to wander away from God very easily. But we need to ask ourselves during Lent, how do we walk with God? How do we wander with God in the wilderness of our life? God made us out of dust, and to dust we'll return. King Solomon told us that. He also told us there was a time for everything under the sun, a time to die, or a time to be born, and a time to die. And within these seasons, we're given opportunities to grow, to learn lessons, to take insight and wisdom, and really look at how we can move forward instead of just staying stuck. Hopefully, during Lent, we use it for a margin. We find margins for God to move within our lives. A little wilderness walking with God, one-on-one, a time to touch and turn our hearts back to God, because they're so easily turned in the opposite direction. So when is Lent? Well, this past Wednesday, we celebrated Ash Wednesday. So it goes from Ash Wednesday all the way to Easter. It's 40 days, and you're allowed, supposedly, if you're giving something up or taking something on, that you can not do it on Sundays, because every Sunday is like a little Easter in the church world. But I have a hard time stopping something once I'm on a track. It's like I would just stop on Sunday. So I tend to go on, but some people take it seriously and use their Sundays as a time to just to not do it. It's basically 1/10 of the year. So it's kind of like a tithe of time in your life. It slows you down for 1/10 of the year. Most of us know what Mardi Gras is. So the Tuesday before Ash Wednesday is Mardi Gras. And everybody celebrates because they know that Lent is coming. That's when you see Ash Wednesday, when you see the smudgy crosses on people's foreheads. But you don't have to have an Ash cross on Ash Wednesday to observe Lent. You don't have to do that. You can still move forward. Lent always starts on the Wednesday. And the Tuesday before is called Great Tuesday or Fat Tuesday, because years ago when they started this Lent season in the olden days, years ago, they were very serious about it. And they knew it was coming, so that Tuesday they would take all the sugar in the house, all the yeast, all the meat, and they'd have this big feast. They'd eat everything. That's that, you know, just shove everything in your mouth that you possibly can, because they didn't want to be tempted. How many of you still have Valentine candy where you go, oh my gosh, there's a Hershey bar or a Reese's calling my name in the other room? Because it's still there. And so years ago, they would just eat it up and get it out of the house. They didn't want it there. It was a great feast. But no matter whether you party on Tuesday, this past Tuesday, or not, it's still nice to understand its origin on why we have Great or Fat Tuesday and why we have Ash Wednesday. Some of you all were here for that. And during Lent, we make resolutions. We commit to change during the next 40 days so that we can actually turn our hearts and be more Christ-like, something we're called to do, to draw close to God. Because our busy lives get us so distracted. So why the ashes? Ashes are there because in the Jewish and Christian history, they were a sign of mortality and repentance. Mortality because we're all going to die. from ashes to ashes, dust to dust. Jan Richardson, an artist in residence, she's a Methodist pastor, but she writes and draws and paints and she does all this great stuff. She says, ashes, dust, and dirt. The stuff we walk upon, the stuff we sweep away, the stuff we try so hard to get rid of, now comes to remind us who we are, where we are from, and where we are bound. That's ashes. And then repentance, because a long time ago when they sinned, they felt so remorseful that they put ash all over their head and they put sackcloth on because it was itchy and scratchy. And every time it itched them, it reminded them that they had sinned. And they were uncomfortable. It was a reminder to say, sin is uncomfortable and it's a sort of death of spirit. That was the way they confessed their sins, the way they acted it out. We don't have to do that anymore. But how do we take time to be honest about what's going on in our lives that is keeping us from walking with God, that's getting in our way from feeling close to God? How do we take an honest assessment of that now? Where do the ashes come from? Well, I have these five kids, and I think I might have said this Ash Wednesday. I don't know. It wasn't Andrew. Andrew's helping while Mitch is having a baby, which they're being induced tonight. Everybody that loves Mitch, they're going in at 8 o'clock to be induced, so we're going to pray hard because he's a hot mess, and Meredith is going, oh, dear Lord, help me. Anyway, so that's just a side note. Yes, that's a side note. But where do the ashes come from? So Jackson, one of my son, when we went to Winter Park Methodist, we'd go up and get our ashes, and he, one time we were leaving, and he looked at me, and he goes, whose ashes are on my forehead? And I said, they're not anybody's ashes. They come from the palm frond, the palms that they wave, you know, that we do on Palm Sunday, and they burn them down and they mash them into ashes, and then they put a little teeny tiny bit of oil in them to remind us what happened. When Jesus on Palm Sunday rode in on the donkey in Jerusalem, everybody was so excited, but we also know that less than a week later, they were ready to kill him. The palms were waved in joy and they were carried in sorrow, right? In this season, you can see that you can't separate joy and sorrow. I said that on Wednesday night because I think sometimes we think we either need to be all sorrow or all joy, but the problem is they partner together because they make life meaningful, deep, holy. That's what they do. It's symbolic. So what is Lent? We know that at Jesus' baptism, you read it, he went down, he came up, and God said, this is my son, the one I'm beloved, and I'm so proud of him, I'm pleased. And then he went right into the wilderness and was tempted by the devil. He was tempted by Satan, and he found clarity and strength in that temptation to go on and start his ministry. He fasted for 40 days. Speculation, maybe, is that Jesus needed some time with God to sort through the changes that were coming. For 30 years, nothing was really asked of him, right? And now a lot was going to be asked of him. So maybe he needed time in his life. Maybe it was he needed to get away from his family, from friends, from the daily routine, to see God more clearly or to see himself more clearly, just to take time away. Perhaps he wanted a little intentional time with God to get answers and directions, just like we do at times when we don't know what to do or we don't have the answer. Like Jesus, if we take that intentional time to pray and listen, we might hear what God wants to speak into our lives. So you might say, how do I do Lent? How do I start doing it? Over the years, some Lents have been more productive for me than others. And I know it because, you know when you really are committed to something. And I started pondering it probably Monday last week. Why were some really powerful and moved me and why some weren't? And I think the difference was when I gave up chocolate or exercise, I felt a sense of accomplishment. But when I really committed myself to do the resurrection work that Lent offers us, it had to do with my heart. It was really powerful stuff. It showed me the areas in my life that needed to die in order to make things new. And we all have those things. We can run around intentionally or unintentionally from what God wants to speak in our lives. It's a time to repent and return to God, to really let God change. It's a 40 days of changing your lifestyle and letting God change you. That's big when we do that. We can fast. There are a couple ways we can do this. You can fast. You can give up some food. You can fast TV. You can fast technology. There are all sorts of things. But when you give up things in your life by fasting, you will feel that God comes in there and fills those margins with joy, or you'll hear his voice or wisdom. It's a time to detox and cleanse your heart and your body. Maybe you need to ask, what do I need to fast from in order to focus on God? Because we all know. One year, I gave up alcohol totally, not that I'm a huge drinker, but during that time, it was so funny because when you give, well, here, y'all know this, when you give up something, then you really want it, right? You're like, oh my gosh, I think that wine is calling to me from the refrigerator. And it's not, but you know it is, you think it is. So the point is that when you have that and you give it up, you have time not to numb out, to talk to God, to say, hey, there's some quiet time in there. And it might not be wine. It might be TV. It might be looking at your computer, zoning out. So fasting is one of them. Service is another one. You can take something up. You can go help somewhere. You can volunteer. Maybe someplace that tugs at your heart and you've always wanted to do something. Maybe it's here. You want to do something here with our church. Maybe it's to commit to help somebody different every single day or once a week. Prayer. You might use Lent to intentionally use it for prayer and meditation, for quiet. I have something on my phone. It's called Daily Prayer. And in the morning, it sends me an opening prayer, some scriptures, a meditation, and a closing. And then it does it at noon and at night. Because for me, if it comes up on my phone, I do it. And I take time to do it. Also, just having a time of quiet listening. I can't stress that enough. All of these, art, music, however you want to pray and be with God, take these next 40 days and use it. Sarah Bessie, she's a great blogger. I love her stuff. But she had a quote that I read last week, and it kind of speared my heart. You know where you read something and you go, holy cow, this says a lot in these few words. And it's what I will be doing over Lent, and it might be something you'd like to try. Sometimes relaxing our grip is the most holy work we can do. Sometimes relaxing our grip might be the most holy work we can do. This isn't easy, folks. This is not easy. So yesterday, or last Thursday, we drove up to Atlanta and we brought my nephew home. Many of y'all know my nephew was in an accident. He suffered a traumatic brain injury. He's had two brain surgeries since. That was September 14th. We brought him home yesterday. It is exciting, and I can tell you there is joy and there is deep sorrow. We are literally experiencing living loss because Austin will never be the same. So we have to loosen our grip on expectations, on what we thought life was going to be or what should be. This is hard stuff. Sometimes we have to let go if we want to have a say in life or we want control. Sometimes we're holding on to the expectations, the fear, the doubt, the pain. Where do you need to like loosen your grip in life and trust God? Step out in faith and believe he's got it. He's got them. He's got the situation, the circumstance, your life. We hold on so tightly, don't we? And if we just loosen up and say, God, I trust you. You've got this. You are the Holy One. Lent is a time to reset. It's also a time to pause and ponder and pray. A time to reflect, to see, and to hear what needs attention in your life. And I challenge you. We've got a couple more Sundays together. I challenge you to think, what am I holding on to? Where can I allow God to do that holy work within my heart? In the name of the Father, and the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen.